Our gospel passage today begins with this profound setup by Jesus of what he's going to be sharing. He says he's going to tell a parable about the necessity for them to pray always without becoming weary. As we hear him say in other parts of the gospel, the necessity to pray without ceasing. It's interesting that word that is used there, a necessity. It seems to imply that without it, we're lacking something profound. The necessity to pray without ceasing. And specifically today, we hear today Christ's explanation of what it means to pray with all of our heart. He explains kind of today the typical prayer that we often pray to the Lord, prayer of petition. Lord, help me. So we pray in all different sorts of ways, but prayers of petition are very common to all of us, constantly asking the Lord to intercede in our life. It's interesting, studies show that even those who are atheist or agnostic, they still, even in their life, will pray at times in this way, asking for God for help. What does that reveal? It reveals that all of us have a deep interior yearning within us, a place where we yearn to be heard, a place where we yearn to know that we're not alone and that God understands and is interceding on our behalf, a place where we beg God to transform our reality with the joyful reality that he enjoys in heaven, the eternal reality that's not stained by sin, that our lives yearn for. We're all made for eternity with God. So a prayer of petition, when it's authentically offered up to God, connects us with this place where God's desiring to let his heavenly realities enter into the earthly realm of our suffering, of our difficulty, of our sin. And our readings today kind of explicate what does it mean to really truly pray with this heart that's open to God, crying out and yearning for him to intercede in our life. Well, let's begin with the first reading today. It's a really powerful, vivid reading about Moses and the Israelites as they go to war against the Amalites, basically this opposing tribe that was keeping them from entering into the promised land that God had entrusted into their hands. And we see in the first reading there's this battle raging, and it represents for us today the spiritual battle that we all wage in our own life. We are all in a battle against a deadly force, which is the evil of this world, the evil of sin, the slavery of sin that we find ourselves in. And the place where, just like the Israelites, we're yearning for God to intercede and conquer those places of sin in our life, that he might have the ultimate victory, that his suffering, death, and resurrection, the victory that we proclaim as Christians, would become alive in its completeness in our life. If we think about maybe just that spiritual battle of our own life, what does that look like for us today? We all bring different manifestations of that battle in our life where we feel overwhelmed by the forces that surround us, the world we live in that's full of such relativism, a lack of truth and joy, a world that's overburdened by all of these materialistic distractions that we have today, a world of political and social injustice, of violence, a world of outright persecution against those who proclaim the truth. Christians today in the Middle East, around the world, who are being killed for their faith. We have a battle in front of us, my dear brothers and sisters, that is huge and deadly and is of great significance for the salvation of our soul. So maybe the lesson for us first from the first reading today is that we're all called to fight the evil in our life. We're all called to wage war on the things that keep us enslaved from the Lord. We're all called to open our heart to God that he might allow us to be transformed by his love, to not sit on the sidelines, to not surrender to the conflict, but to fight for the good that God desires for us. And how do we fight against the forces of evil that surround us? Well, let's look at the readings today. What is the weapon of choice that God gives us? He gives us the weapon of prayer. The action of Moses that we see in the first reading, where he raises his hands in supplication to God and surrender to God, entrusting his people, the Israelites, into God's powerful hands. It's this powerful witness of prayer. And as we see, you know, he even becomes tired. He has to be supported by Aaron and Hur, who intercede for the people as well. As he seeks to be persistent in his prayer, just as Jesus calls us to be persistent in our prayer, to pray without ceasing. Dear brothers and sisters, it's so important for us to realize, and I don't think we really believe this if we're honest with ourselves, that nothing great is possible in our life without prayer. If you want to do great things in your life, nothing great will ever happen without prayer. We just have to look at the lives of the saints to see that. Maybe even look at our own life, times when we've been walking away from the Lord and his church. There's no power in our life. There's no joy. There's no true greatness in our heart, because all that is good comes from God, who's the author of creation. And how do we dispose ourselves to that goodness? By raising our hands in supplication. Lord, help me. I am in need. Save me. I am nearing death. So let's think about it again for a second. Why is prayer so necessary for us? Is it because if we didn't pray, God wouldn't know the difficulties or sufferings of our life? Is that why we pray? Because God somehow needs to be informed of our suffering? No. God is an all-knowing God. He knows our suffering and the depth of our heart, the pain. He doesn't need to be informed. It's not why we pray and petition God for things that we need in our life. Okay, if that's not why we pray, why is it necessary then? Is it because somehow God needs to be convinced that he needs to help us, that we need to persuade him? Sometimes we believe that in our life. God, why have you abandoned me? I have to convince you to do this thing in my life, to intercede. Oh, my dear brothers and sisters, we believe in an all-loving God. We believe in a God who gave his only begotten Son for our salvation, who since the dawn of existence, knowing of the sin that brought on the wage of death, once again this battle that we fight because of our own faults, since the beginning of creation he's been working in his intense, deep wisdom to bring about the salvation of the world through his Son Jesus, who once again offers his hands in supplication to God the Father on the cross, saying, Lord, save us, save your people. So why is prayer so necessary? It's because prayer opens us consciously to God. When we authentically pray, it keeps us in steady personal relationship with God. Authentic prayer is the raising of our minds and our heart to a God who loves us. It's a conscious aligning of our will to his will. Saying, God, I believe you are the source of all good, so I surrender to you, for you are God. It's interesting. I want to talk just a moment about that action of Moses in the first reading, putting his hands up. You know, this reminds me as I celebrate Mass of what I do as I pray the Eucharistic prayers of the Mass. I put my hands up in the same way. This is called the orans position, the prayer position, more or less. Now, what does that represent when I'm doing that during the Mass? Well, it represents a couple things. It represents me lifting up your prayers and my prayers to God the Father. It represents an action of praise. God, you are all powerful. You are all good. Thank you for loving us, for once again offering your Son in sacrificial love for the salvation of our hearts. But ultimately, beyond all of that, what it truly means is I surrender. You know, think about this action. Or let me make it more real to you. You know, think about what we do during Mass. We kneel. I surrender to you, God. I am all yours. I need you. Save me, Lord. Do we really approach God that way in our life? I mean, I'll be honest with you, so often I'm not doing it. Do we authentically have that witness to reach out to God and surrender with our life? Lord, I need you. To enter into the same position of Jesus who lifts up himself on the cross. Lord, into your hands I commend my spirit. Lord, into your hands I surrender my spirit. For you are God. Does our prayer look like that in our daily life? Do we do it consistently with persistence? Do we have a time reserved to the Lord where we come before him and say, Lord, I surrender. Do in me what I can't do myself. Transform my life. Help me to know that you're fighting this war with me, that I'm not alone. And as I raise my hands, what happens? I experience your power in my life. The power of your strength that conquers the overwhelming foe. Exactly what Moses saw his people doing there as he's raising his hands, saying, Lord, I surrender. Lord, I can't do it. I let go of the control, the manipulation of my life, and I surrender, and you do it. You lead my people into the promised land. Lord, you lead me to everlasting life, to the joy that my heart yearns for, as I petition my heart to you who love me. So, dear brothers and sisters, today is an awakening for us to come before him and once again give our life and give it completely, saying, Lord, I surrender. Do in me what I can't do. Help me to conform my life to your will, to the commandments. Help me to live in a spirit of prayer, to come and receive your sacraments with an open heart, laying down my sufferings and pain, to start inculcating in my life a spirit of constant prayer where I turn to you throughout my day. So at the workplace, in my family, with my kids, I can allow you to come into my heart and transform it, to give me hope amidst the battle, to give me strength against the overwhelming foe. And our confidence is in the Lord who loves us. The gospel passage today is incredible because it shows, the gospel passage is all about this widow who has to persistently, with embarrassment, go before this evil judge who doesn't want to hear her case. She goes over and over again in her poverty, in her surrender to an evil, unfortunately ignorant man who ends up listening to her prayer because of her persistence. Remember the response right after that of Jesus. If this man, evil judge, is willing to answer the plea of this widow, how much more is your heavenly Father willing to respond and answer your prayer if you come before him in surrender? Lord, I surrender. So Lord Jesus, we come before you today and offer our hearts as you speak to us today the truth of your love for us, the power of prayer. We ask that when you come again, as you do there in this Eucharist, you might find a church alive in prayer, alive in hope in you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.